I want you to follow along as we read from the epistle of James, the letter of James, and we're going to read from the first chapter, verses 17 to 27. Before we do that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord our God, it is a wonderful privilege to be in your house, to be together, whether here in person or online. But we are connected as the body of Jesus Christ, and your spirit transcends all space and time. And so thank you for forgiving us again this morning. Thank you for the beautiful hymn that lifts us up. Thank you for the children's message and for our children. We love them and we pray for their safety. And thank you for your word, which we're about to read together. God, I believe that you brought us together today for a specific purpose. You have a reason you have put in everyone's heart this morning to be online and join us in worship or to be here in person. And I pray that now as you want to speak to us, that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds to be receptive for that reason. And that you would truly enable us to not just listen today, but to also put it into action. And so that's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So James, first chapter, verse 17. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in the middle of this passage, the Apostle James makes an interesting and an insightful comparison. He says there are two types of people. He says in verse 23, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Two types of people, those who hear but don't do, and those who hear and then act. And he uses this analogy of looking into a mirror. If you listen to the word of God and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, but as you walk away, you forget what you look like. So he talks about a mirror, refers to this image of looking into a mirror. So let's do that today, okay? Let's look into a mirror and talk about the most amazing mirror in the world. By the way, how often would you say you look in a mirror every day? Studies show that, you know, that most people check the mirror upwards of 30 times a day. For some, looking in the mirror is simply a matter of gathering data. For others, it's maybe to confirm the worst. But the thing about mirrors is they are everywhere. We actually take them for granted today. We use them for practical purposes. We use them for decor. As a good driver, you check your side mirrors and rear view mirror for safety reasons when you're driving. We use mirrors to reflect light. We use mirrors before going on a date to see what we look like. And there are all kinds of mirrors, of course, full frame, wall mounted, self-supported, full length. They might be square, rectangular, oval, circular. We don't think much about the technology of mirrors. They just are everywhere. But what about the mirror that the Apostle James used 2,000 years ago? Certainly, it was not a piece of glass coated with silver nitrate. It was probably a piece of polished bronze or copper or whatever it was. There's no doubt that his readers knew what a mirror was. And if you do a little research, you will find that mirrors had been around long before James wrote this letter to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Artifacts dating 6,000 years to 6,000 years before Christ tell us that the early communities used polished stones as mirrors. And there's also a few places in the Bible where it mentions the use and the history of mirrors. In the book of Job in the Old Testament, it says, can you spread out the gigantic mirror of the skies as he does? And the women of the Exodus had mirrors. On one occasion, they donated them for the making of a bronze bowl for tabernacle worship. It says in Exodus 38:8, he made the basin of bronze with its stand of bronze from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And then, of course, Paul refers to a mirror in his famous essay on love in 1 Corinthians 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. And if you think about it, I mean, the simplest mirror is water, right? That's what Narcissus in Greek mythology discovered. And I don't know if you're a nature lover or not, but nature lovers are thrilled when in the early morning hours they come across a woodland pond or an alpine lake that is as still as glass, reflecting the pines and the mountains above the clear water. And when we stumble on a scene like this, we whip out our smartphone and take a photo and post it on Facebook or Instagram because it's just that spectacular. And the largest natural mirror is Salar de Uyuni in Bolivia. At 4,000 square miles, it's the world's largest salt lake. It's about 100 times bigger than the Bonneville salt flats of Utah. And when water from the mountains flood this plain, the sky seems to join the earth in an impression of infinity. It's one of the most remarkable scenes in the world. If we had a screen in our sanctuary, I could have shown you some of these breathtaking pictures. But maybe you can go Google it. And for those watching our online stream, Alex is showing you a few of these beautiful, beautiful pictures right now. In any case, the Salar de Uyuni is spectacular, no doubt. But the mirror described in today's reading is even more amazing. So let's take a look. What is this amazing mirror that I'm talking about? The mirror James is referring to. It's the Word of God. The most amazing mirror in the world is the Word of God. And let me tell you why. First of all, it's amazing because it's perfect. That's what James calls it. He says, those who look into the perfect law. He says it's perfect because it's God's law. I mean, as humans, we pass many bad laws. And I'm sure you can think of a few bad laws. Like in Gainesville in Georgia, where it is illegal to eat fried chicken with a fork. Did you know that? Or in the state of Washington, where the slaying of Bigfoot is a felony and punishable by 5 years in prison. I mean, Bigfoot. And the law was later amended, designating Bigfoot as an endangered species. I mean, I'm not kidding. But this amazing mirror is the perfect law because it comes from God. It's God's word, and it cannot be bettered. And I think it's silly for any human being to think that they could write a law that supersedes the law of God. Because God's law is as good as it gets. It can't get better. In fact, James says it's the law of liberty. It's the law of freedom. When you follow God's law, it sets you free. When you follow God's law, you are truly free. And liberty is what we all want, right? God's love sets you free. And this law is directed toward an end. Because the Greek word here is teleion. It has a goal, this law. So think about it this way. When you have a jar that is designed specifically to hold a pint of milk, it's perfect insofar as it holds the milk when it has no cracks or leaks, right? God's law is perfect because its goal, its end, its purpose is to fashion vessels of perfection who are what they are designed to be. Because you see, God designed us to be His people. We are created in God's image. It's what theologians call Imago Dei. And because we're made in God's image, we are called to reflect or mirror God's image in the world. That's what we're designed to be. That's what we're designed to do, to be vessels of God's love. And when we do that, we reflect the Gloria Dei. We reflect and mirror the glory of God. We put God on display in the world. But if you look into this amazing mirror and walk away and forget what you look like as God's image, that's not going to happen, is it? So what is also amazing about this mirror is that we must lean into the mirror to see better. You know, the late, great Yogi Berra catcher and then manager of the New York Yankees, used to say, "You can see a lot by looking." Right? And yes, you can. You can certainly see a lot by looking. And I mean, what we often do is we lean toward the mirror to get a better look at ourselves. Do I have any lettuce in my teeth that are stuck there? And that's the meaning of this verb, looking, here in this verse. It's to look intently. It's not just, you know, a casual glance. It's taking a closer look. It says in verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So you're bending over or stooping to get a better look, to get the best look in the mirror. The same word is used when Peter got up on Easter morning and ran to the tomb. It says in Luke, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. So you see, you need to be willing to look at the God, a law of God, intently. You need to be willing to humble yourself as you carefully look at God's word and what it says about your life. To be on your knees in an attitude of contrition and repentance, willing to bend to the will of God and to be obedient to His word. You must be willing to lean into the mirror to see better and then act accordingly. And finally, it's an amazing mirror because it's a two-way mirror. And God is on the other side. Because you see, God knows your thoughts. He knows the intentions of your heart. The Bible says God knows people's hearts. People look at the outside of a person, but the Lord looks at the heart. What's going on inside of us? He knows the secrets of every heart. It says in Jeremiah, the heart is devious above all else. It is perverse, and who can understand it? And then the answer comes quickly in the same verse, I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. And what this means is that the word of God is perfect, because when we stand before the perfect law of God, we are really standing before God Himself. And He sees us as through a two-way mirror. He sees everything. He sees what's in our minds and what's in our hearts. And so when we look into the mirror of God's word, we find that He is on the other side. And so therefore, to look in the mirror is a good thing. But only if we then take action according to the data the mirror reflects or provides. Otherwise, why look in a mirror? Be a waste of time, right? If I look in the mirror when I get up in the morning and see that my hair is standing in all directions and don't comb it, what's the point? And as in real life, it's pretty obvious to others when you go out into the world without taking care of personal hygiene, it's not a pretty sight. And so a Christian who avoids the mirror of God's word is not a pretty sight either. In fact, it can be ugly. And lately we've seen a lot of ugly Christians in the news. And so what I'm saying and the point James is making is that we become better versions of ourselves, and the world becomes a better place when we look into God's mirror, when we look intently into the perfect law of God, and then act on what we see. When we become not only hearers of the words, but also doers of the word. Let me give you one example. James says in verse 26, if any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. So you look into the mirror of God's word and you see it says the tongue is like a fire that can set a forest ablaze and cause incredible harm. And the mirror reflects back to you how your words, how your tongue has caused harm. And you don't do anything to change that in your life. You just walk away and you forget what God's word has just pointed out to you about your actions and your life. Then what's the point? You are only a hearer and not a doer. And the blessing lies in being not hearers who forget, but doers who act. That's where God's blessing is. So this is really our call to action. We need to look into this amazing mirror, the Word of God, and then we must act on what we see. When we do, we will be better for it. And so will our neighborhoods. And so will the world. Like Salar de Uyuni, where heaven meets earth in water's reflection. God's word is a mirror that elevates us to the thin space between heaven and earth, where mortals like us experience what James calls a heavenly condition, where we will be blessed in our doing. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, I will be the first this morning to acknowledge that often I hear, often I listen to your word, often I read your word, and I don't act. I don't do it. And what you're saying this morning is that there's really no blessing in that. I know the same is true for all of us here today, for all of those online, because we are sinful by nature. But I pray that we will grow in becoming a reflection of your image, that we will mirror your glory to those around us, to the community we live in, to the world we belong to. I pray, God, that your Spirit will enable us to not just listen or hear, but to listen and hear and then to act, to look into your mirror very closely every day and to see what it is that needs to change in our lives, to again understand and be amazed by your grace and your love and your mercy and your care and your presence in our lives, to again get very close to you through this mirror we look into, the mirror of your word. That's what we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.